Hi, I'm Deborah Lindad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. But today, this show is going to be about a sad subject, which is that the week before Christmas, my brother died, my little brother. So he's younger than me, and the death certificate says that he died of pneumonia. But my opinion is that he died from a lifetime of taking prescription drugs. And I have on the show today as my guest, Pamela Seefeld. She's a registered pharmacist that has been on the show many times. She's on every other Wednesday. And you can listen to the back shows if you go to toxicfreetalkradio.com. But she dispenses medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. But she knows all about prescription drugs and what they can do to your body. And I just want to do this show today in honor of my brother and of other choices. And so that if you have loved ones that are on prescription drugs, that you can know what the possible outcomes might be and offer them another solution. I know that sometimes that's hard to do because obviously I've known my brother all his life and he knows all about my work, and I have tried to help him many times to do things a more natural way. The last time I talked to him, he lived clear on the other side of the country, so we didn't see each other all the time. The last time I talked to him before I got the phone call the week before Christmas, that he was on maximum life support. The last time I talked to him, he was telling me about all the drugs that he was taking and how despondent he was about being addicted to them, but that he couldn't get off of them. And I offered to help him get off of them. And he said, I can't go through that. And I want to do this show today because if you have loved ones that are in this situation, loved ones who are taking these kinds of drugs, and we're going to be talking about them today, please, please, please do whatever you can to help them, because this is the end result. And Pamela, registered pharmacist, is going to talk to us about that today. Hi, Pamela.
Deborah, I'm really sorry for your loss, and this is really important that we do this show and let people know about some of the dangers of the medications that he was taking, which are commonly prescribed medicine.
Yes, I'm going to let you do a lot of talking because I find myself sitting here being quite emotional. It's only been a month.
Yeah, it's too long, but we can just kind of look at some of the medicines, and we've discussed this. I have a list in front of me in the things that he was on. Okay, he was taking dextroamphetamine, which everyone knows is Ritalin. Okay, he was on oxycodone, which is a very strong narcotic. He was on ketorolac, which is an anti-inflammatory. Methadone, which is another narcotic. Valium, which is an anxiolytic. And he was on Lasix, which is a diuretic. And he was also on Synthroid and some stool softeners. So this, I can tell you, just working as a pharmacist, that this is pretty typical. A lot of people are prescribed these medications. And some of the things that people maybe weren't aware of, but I'm going to explain a little bit about the scheduling of medication, okay? Because three of the medicines he's taking are Schedule 2, okay? So the FDA has, and Schedule 2 is the most highly addicting, besides Schedule 1. Schedule 2 is what's recognized in our prescriptions, in the prescription realm, as being the most addictive and the most problematic. So the FDA assigned this scheduling system quite a long time ago to try and categorize different medicines so people knew what they're in. The categories are 1 through 5 based on a potential for addiction and dependence and abuse. So Schedule 1, and I think that this is important for people to know about these schedules because it shows you how dangerous the medicines are. Schedule 1, there are no Schedule 1 drugs available in pharmacies here in the United States. Schedule 1 is heroin and LSD, marijuana, which, you know, of course, different states are legalizing it above and beyond what the federal government has mandating. Ecstasy and peyote, you know, people, you know, they're smoking these kind of things. These medicines are not considered Schedule Ones, or there are no Schedule Ones available in regular pharmacy practice in the United States. In Europe and in England, there are some Schedule Ones that are available through research. Do you have heroin and so forth? So that's different over in Europe. But in the United States, Schedule 1 is not available. Schedule 2, and I want to really focus on this, Schedule 2, and this is from the FDA site itself describing Schedule 2. Substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with high potential for abuse, less abuse than potential than a Schedule 1 drug, with use potentially leading to severe psychological and physical dependence. These drugs are also considered dangerous. Some examples of Schedule 2 drugs are, there's the methadone, okay, there's the oxycodone, and there is the Adderall or the Ritalin. So the three of the drugs that he was taking are considered Schedule 2, and I was reading right from the FDA website the definition of a Schedule 2 drug. So this should make people pause and concern that Schedule 2 drugs, the FDA is saying there, potentially leading to severe psychological and physical dependence. These drugs are also considered dangerous. That is a sentence, period. So we know that these three medicines that he was taking have high tolerance, high dependence, and the fact that most of these people that are put on this, especially the narcotics, in particular the oxycodone, maybe even more so than the methadone, but we know that taking Schedule 2 narcotics, patients have a higher risk of what's called morbidity and mortality. So they have a higher chance of dying at a younger age from complications from the narcotic usage.
Now, I want to ask you a question. So Ritalin, I was looking at when I put together this list, a friend of mine who went to get my brother's effects, because I wasn't living close by in order to do that, he was reading to me over the phone what was written on the bottles. And so I didn't realize that he was taking Ritalin and Valium, because I was just looking at the medical names for these. But Ritalin, I mean, school children are given Ritalin.
Well, this is the problem, yes. It's highly addictive, and it has psychological dependence and problems. We know that kids have ADD, ADHD, these sort of, you know, diagnoses where they have inattentiveness. I have different theories about that. I mean, that's probably a whole other show in itself. I really am against using medications for small children. I think it's really dangerous. You have a high percentage of children. I think I was reading in New York City, like one in four kids is on a psychostimulant. It's a lot.
It's
a lot of children, and I don't agree with it, but I understand why society is leaning towards using these medicines in small kids and in people, because people are demanding it. Most parents are not going to take the time to spend a lot on parenting skills to try and get the kids to be attentive to school. Most people are just basically surviving on fumes, running around, trying to get everything done. And I think it's just an easy solution to maybe a complex problem that requires lots of lifestyle changes that they're not willing to do. And I mean, that's a personal opinion.
Well, you know, I think that my brother has been taking these drugs for a very long time, because I remember like 40 years ago, that's a long time, 40 years ago, I remember I sent him, when we were young adults, I sent him a Christmas present, and he sent me this, he called me up and he just screamed at me over the phone about, why are you sending me a Christmas present? Don't you know that I have to go down to the post office and pick it up? And I can't do that. And why are you bothering me with this? And he just like totally flipped out because I sent him a Christmas present. And I recognized that's not him. That's not my brother. It was the drugs. And that was going on like 40 years ago. We need to go to break, but when we come back, we'll talk more about prescription drugs and the safer alternatives with my guest, Pamela Seefeld, registered pharmacist, who actually practices say the word of what you practice, because I've got it right here. Pharmacognosy. That's the word. We'll be right back. Bye. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Gadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seefeld, registered pharmacist, who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And there is the term for that. It's actually a field in itself called pharmacognosy, which is the study of medicinal plants. And I've said before on other shows with her that I love this word because it's pharma, which is drugs, and intelligence, which is cognosy, is intelligence. And plants are healing substances with intelligence coming from a live thing instead of being synthesized in a lab. Anyway, we've talked many times before about how taking plant-based substances for healing will actually heal your body, whereas drugs might alleviate your symptoms, but they don't have healing factors, and that you just keep taking them and get addicted to some of them. And that's what we're talking about today, is addiction to some prescription drugs and how they can lead to not living as long as you might. As I said at the top of the show, that my brother died the week before Christmas, and he was taking quite a number of drugs, which we're discussing today. Okay, Pamela, let's talk about the first drug on the list, Ritalin.
Correct. Right. So the Ritalin, we know most of the time these people are given to the Ritalin because of attentiveness, ADD, ADHD, that type of thing. Ritalin is a psychostimulant, and of course, especially in younger people, when they start on this medicine, there is some data that shows that it's a gateway to other drugs. So it opens the potential for alcohol abuse, you know, marijuana, cocaine, other things that are illegal drugs. So we have to look and think that when the body gets conditioned, and you have to understand that there's receptors in the brain. That's how these drugs work, okay? Receptors in the brain that are stimulated, and when they get stimulated, the body likes this because that's why they're considered addictive. And using psychostimulants to get attentiveness instead of looking at behavioral issues themselves is really, you know, it needs to be addressed. I know for a fact that I've used this with adolescents before and adults, that people that have ADD, instead of using Ritalin, they can get away with using Pro-DHA, which is a calming focusing fish oil, of a DHA to EPA of 4.5 to 1. And a lot of people really respond well to low-dose zinc, 15 to 30 milligrams a day, because zinc is a cofactor for over 200 enzymatic reactions in the brain. And a lot of people with inattentiveness, children and adults alike, they can benefit from having more of the zinc. Actually, zinc is depleted when people eat lots of preservatives, refined foods, you know, high fructose corn syrup, a lot of things that are just hidden in our diet. If they're not eating a really clean diet, which most people aren't, the zinc depletion as far as these cofactors in the brain is pretty significant. And just doing those two things there, many times people notice a big difference in their attentiveness, and then they could possibly avoid being on this drug.
Well, I think that we've talked about so many times, but it bears repeating here, that the two things that are probably the biggest things that are contributing to health problems today are, number one, exposure to toxic chemicals, and number two, lack of nutrition. That
Correct.
We have such, most people are so malnourished that if they would just take the right vitamins before they ever consider taking a drug, that a lot of their symptoms would go away.
Well, that's exactly right. So what I'm telling people is that these drugs, not even looking at as gateway drugs, but when used before when you're drug naive, you haven't been on these medicines, and you're kind of standing in front of opportunities, right? Because life's full of opportunities, and knowledge is power. So instead of putting these things into your body, you can stand there and say, okay, I see that I have a problem. I need something for pain, or I need something for attentiveness, and look for tools that can help you instead of going to the medicines first, because the medicines, it's kind of like you open the door, you can't close it. You're on them forever. Very few people will take, especially pain medicines, will take patients off of these things. So it's kind of all or nothing, It's kind of like, you know, you're at the gambling table, it's all or nothing. And I don't really think that that's the best way to approach people's issues. The best way is to try some other things first. Natural products do work very well. Maybe they won't work for 100% of people, but I have seen this from personal experience that a lot of people, because I actually transition people off medicines many times, but I tell people before you actually take that initial step, you really need to look at what we can use. A homeopathic detox, take the chemicals out of the body. Use a calming, focusing fish oil to try and focus the brain. Also, huperazine, which is an herb, has very, very good data that it works as an acetylcholine esterase inhibitor. And I'll explain what that is. When the brain and the synapse, when people have Alzheimer's or memory issues, they use a drug called Aricept. And Aricept is very expensive, and Aricept has very limited use, especially like in Europe, because it's so expensive, and they find that it just really kind of starves off the memory problems for maybe 6 months. But it's used quite widely here in the United States. And what this does is it allows more acetylcholine to make memories in the brain, and it kind of stops the enzyme that breaks it down in the synapse. So generally what it does is acetylcholine is a memory, and when you make a memory, it acetylcholine goes and it puts it a certain place in the brain, and then that's your memory. You can retrieve it or put it away. So RX brain, or huperazine, Huperosa serrata, is a plant that shows the exact same activity as Aricept with none of the side effects, and I even use it for people that come in, I need more attentiveness, I'm going back to school, I'm reading. Instead of reaching for the Ritalin, these supplements run like $10 to $15 for a month, very inexpensive and very, very effective. There's tons of data on the Library of Medicine. If somebody wanted to say, I need memory improvement, I need attentiveness improvement, for $10, $12, something like that, you are really looking at enhanced memory, and there are studies that show that this works just like the drug.
Wow. This is, I think that it's just, we talk about this show after show. I think we've done, what, like 10 shows or something like that now. But we keep talking about this show after show about how that for, it seems like any drug that you would be taking that's a prescription drug or even an over-the-counter drug, that there's a natural substance that can be used instead, which doesn't have side effects, which is less expensive, and that we just should be reaching for those first. We should be reaching for those first because you could stop taking them whenever you don't want to take them anymore, and you're not addicted to them for life, and they cost so much less. So we just need to, in this country, have a reorientation to know that there are safer things that we can choose. We need to go to break, but when we come back, we'll talk more. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is pharmacist, registered pharmacist Pamela Seefeld. We're talking about some prescription drugs that my brother was taking the week before Christmas when he died, and what you can do instead that is far safer for yourself and for your loved ones. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seefeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. Pamela, we haven't mentioned yet today that people can call you and how you can help them. So why don't you tell everybody about that?
Yes. So I've been in 20 years in business here in Clearwater, Florida. My store is Botanical Resource Pharmacy. It's all homeopathic and natural products. Consultations are free. I also do consultations on adults, adolescents, and children and pets as well. And you can reach me here at the pharmacy at 727-442-4955. And I would be very honored to help you or your family member with anything relating to medications, avoiding medicines. If you want to know medical homeopathic products that we have here, they're not typically available like in health food stores. They're medical grade that I can prescribe for you if you have any issues with blood pressure, cholesterol, whatever, and of course, pain, which we're focusing on today.
And the way I met Pamela was actually a friend of mine went to her. She's here in Clearwater, Florida, where I live. And a friend of mine went to her because his mother was on a number of prescription drugs. And Pamela not only got her off the prescription drugs, but his mother is doing much better now. And even his mother's doctor commented on how well she was doing. So Pamela really knows her stuff. She's very well regarded here in Clearwater, Florida. So if you have any health problems that need some help, if you're on any prescription drugs, if you have any loved ones on prescription drugs, I highly recommend that you call Pamela and let her help you with this, because she really has things that work. All right, so let's talk now about Valium.
Correct. So Valium is a Schedule 4, and they consider it low risk for dependence, but actually I don't really believe that's the case, because most people that start on Valium, there is a lot of tolerance and dependence, and people do become addicted to it. And so when you look at people taking anxiolytics, especially this particular class, is called benzodiazepines. Benzodiazepines work in the brain, and they work on the benzodiazepine receptor. And they, when the drug binds into the receptor, it has this calming effect on the person. Okay, so the problem with this is that there's psychological and physical dependence when you take benzodiazepines. So people typically need more medicine. They stay on it for a long period of time. And when you start taking benzodiazepines, Xanax, Ativan, Valium, these different drugs that are very, very, very commonly prescribed, you know, it takes probably less than 10 days. And after that period of time, you start developing tolerance. So these medicines, it's one of those things where I was talking about, when you start them, you're going to be on it for a long time. You're going to have a hard time getting off of it. It's really a bad road to go down. If you're looking at natural alternatives, passion flower, medical grade passion flower, is a partial agonist or has activity in a partial manner towards the receptor. So what's interesting about this is that if your brother had been taking passion flower instead of Valium, he would be in a much better situation, because the passion flower binds to the receptor, and I use this sometimes when I'm trying to take people off these medicines, because the body can't tell if it's the drug on there or the herb. And passion flower has this affinity for it, and passion flower also has antidepressant activity, and it has some anti-pain activity as well. So it's maybe more all encompassing than the Valium, and it's very safe, and you can't overdose on it. So I really would suggest that if people are contemplating going on a benzo or looking at getting off a benzo, passion flower is a very helpful tool.
And I've taken passion flower. Pamela gave it to me to help me sleep. And it did help me sleep. And then after a couple of weeks of taking it, I just decided not to take it one night. And I've just been sleeping just fine ever since. So it certainly is something that can be used safely. And she told me I could just take as many of them as I needed to in order to sleep. And I did. And it worked just fine. It worked very well.
Yeah, these medicines, benzos, are highly addicting, and like I said, the tolerance and dependence. The problem with tolerance and dependence is that a lot of times these have a physical dependence where you're craving the drugs, but they also have psychological dependence because you start thinking that you need the drugs and you can't live without them. That's the problem. You really want to start embracing, looking at, like, are there things we can do other than that? Because anxiety is a pretty universal problem, and it affects people in different ways, especially stress. So we need to embrace other things that can be used in a safer manner and more effective manner, and also safer for the long term. The medicines that he had here, the narcotics, the Ritalin, the psychostimulants, and then also the anxiolytics or the Valium, these things all have higher risks associated when the people are taking them versus a person that would be taking natural products and using some other alternative therapies in place of these medicines.
You know, one thing that I want to mention is that, you know, my brother wasn't taking like recreational street drugs. He was just a normal person. I mean, I remember my brother when we were younger, before he started taking these drugs, and he was like, as a child, even he was interested in cooking. He used to watch the Galloping Gourmet on TV, and he got my mom to buy all the cookbooks. He couldn't wait to make chicken with 40 cloves of garlic, and he wanted to. He loved airplanes, and he was always bugging my father to take him to the airport so that he just wanted to watch the planes take off and land. And I remember his happiest moment was when I think he was about 10 or 12. And he so wanted to fly that, my parents bought two plane tickets, one for me and one for him. I had never been on an airplane either. And they put us on the airplane in San Francisco, and we got to fly down to Monterey, which is a very short flight, 30 minutes or something. And so we flew and they drove and met us. They met us down in Monterey.
That's really sweet.
And it was so sweet. And Bradley was just so jazzed. This was like the highlight of his life so far. Aww. Was to fly. And as soon as he became old enough and started working and started making money, the first thing he started doing was flying around the country, and then he flew to Europe, and he just loved to travel, and he was very sophisticated, and he liked to eat in nice restaurants and go to nice places and do nice things. And he got on these drugs because he went to the doctor and he believed the doctor. And same thing with my father. My father died at age 77, but as he was having greater health problems, I was like going in and saying, here's a natural remedy. Here, drink this juice, do this natural thing. And he wouldn't do any of it. He just said, I'm going to do what the doctor tells me to do. And it's just, I would like people to see that there are other choices. There are other choices. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seefeld, registered pharmacist. And she's here helping us all understand about some prescription drugs that my brother was taking most of his life and at the time of his death at age 56, the week before Christmas. His death certificate says pneumonia, but I know that these prescription drugs and maybe others he was taking were taking a toll on his health. Pamela, before we talk about another drug, could you just talk again? Did you mention about how prescription drugs can reduce your lifespan?
Correct. So we look at a lot of the data is really with elderly people because there's a lot of controversy about giving elderly people these medicines. But the whole idea is that, you know, your brother was on these medicines for a long period of time, and then eventually, if he wouldn't have passed away, he would be an elderly person on these medicines. Okay, so we look at these especially the narcotics, the opiates, the oxycodone and the methadone are statistically significantly correlated with higher morbidity and mortality in elderly people, and even in middle-aged people. We know that when a person starts on narcotics, the actual problem, what they had, the pain problem, what they had, the initial reason why they were prescribed the medicine, it's not solved, right? And this is important for people to know because there's the pain medicines that we use, there's really two ways to approach it. One is the narcotics, which we call them centrally acting, which means they act in the brain, okay? And when they act in the brain, they block the signal down to where the pain took place. So let's give an example. Say your brother had a back injury. He picked up something wrong, car accident, something like that. This is very typical. Mm-hmm. Has a back problem. He goes to the doctor. They hand him the narcotics, okay? They don't tell him, you're going to be on this forever. You're going to become addicted to it. These questions really aren't brought up in the initial conversation. So what it does is it blocks the signal from the brain.
Wait. I just want to interrupt you for a second.
Please.
Because I think this is an important point. You said the doctor hands them the bottle or the prescription, and they don't say that they're going to be addicted to this for the rest of their life.
That usually does not enter into the conversation. Correct.
Hundreds of dollars a month. I mean, I think that my brother told me that he was spending like $500 a month on his prescriptions.
That's
$500
insane.
A month. It is insane. And I will tell you that, and I don't like to say this about my brother, but at the time that he died, he was living, just staying at somebody's house, and all of his possessions were in his car. He wasn't homeless because he was staying with somebody. Fortunately, he had people that he could stay with, but he couldn't afford to have his own place to live.
Well, and because he's spending it all on drugs.
Because he's spending it all on drugs, I know. And he got to a point where he couldn't work anymore. It wasn't that he was a bum. He worked all of his life. But he got to the point where his physical condition was that he couldn't work anymore. And so he was staying with friends. He had his things in his car. He was eating in diners. I mean, this is not my brother. This is not what he would have chosen. But that was the end of his life. And I'm just stunned by this whole thing.
Well, we know that he made the choice of going to the physician. The physician's not the bad guy here. I don't want people to think that.
No, I don't want.
And I'm not against that. I'm a regular pharmacist too. What I'm saying is that I think it's empowering and important to individuals to realize that at any one time in our life, we probably are going to have an injury that will need to see the doctor and will need some kind of pain control. That is an absolute fact. That's an absolute fact. And he had an initial injury of some sort, and he went to the doctor. And what we see that the data shows that when we look at an injury, and if we treat this injury with a steroid burst, which is like maybe a Medrol dose pack or some amount of steroids, okay? Steroids bring the inflammation down quickly in the body and allow things to start getting back into normal. A steroid burst and taking a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agent like Advil, Naprosyn, something like that, okay? There's tons of them on the market, okay? Ibuprofen. And taking in a scheduled manner, not like when you think you have pain. So what these peripherally acting, or the ones that don't work in the brain, are much safer, okay? They don't have the addiction and the tolerance. So when a person has an injury, the data shows, especially for back injuries, give them some steroids and give them some anti-inflammatories on a scheduled basis, maybe one pill with each meal for a week, so you get the inflammation down and start healing the body. In those cases, it blocks pain signals in the periphery called the eicosanoids, and it'll just let that area start healing, maybe some physical therapy, things like that. Those are the real ways to have positive outcomes. It's negatively correlated when people get narcotics on the first forefront. They give them narcotics because basically they're going to be on it forever. And then the bad part about it is when you are on a centrally acting narcotic, you're on the oxycodone and he's on the methadone, when you're on these medicines, it blocks your perception of the pain, but the injury is still there. So what this means to you and I and to your listeners is that your injury actually can continue to get worse because you start exerting yourself and moving around and you're not cognizant of the pain.
Right.
So that's the problem.
The thing I wanted to say and failed to say in just recently here is that when a doctor gives you, because I think that I don't want it to sound like I'm against doctors because I'm not.
Yeah, and I'm not either.
Yeah. I think that a lot of doctors do a lot of good in the world. But the thing is that any one of us, when a doctor gives us a prescription, can go online and look up the prescription and find out what it is. And instead of just taking it blindly, we can find out if it's addictive, what schedule it's on, you know, all these things. It's all the information is there. And then we can see for ourselves, like when I used to take Synthroid, I was having side effects and everything a lot of people do. And I went and I looked up Synthroid and I said, well, you know what? Let's look for something else. And I looked for something else and I went to a different doctor and I found a natural form of thyroid supplement. And you know, it opened the door for me to say, well, I don't have to always take this prescription drug. And so I'm just encouraging people to find out what your choices are and then make a choice. And that you don't have to just do what the doctor says. You can decide for yourself if that's the road that you want to take. And if you want to do what the doctor says, okay. But just know that there's other choices.
Well, Bert, yeah, that's exactly right. And also, too, I have thousands of clients, but I have a lot of clients around here locally. If they have a prescription, they'll come bring it to me first before they go fill it and say, do I need this? Is there something else I can take? And there's a lot of times I'll say, no, this is what you really need. This is what you have. Go fill it. But these are the side effects, and this is what you need to look out for. Don't combine it with food. Combine it with food, whatever. I give them that information. Or I'll say, look, I have something here. You can try this first. I think this is going to work, and it's comparable to what they wrote for you. And most of these people will embrace the natural product first, especially the medical homeopathy, which, you know, is designed and developed by physicians. It's not, you know, herbalists. So it's really important that people know that there are really high-functioning products that can take the place of medications. And you have to look at two-thirds of all medicines were found in plants.
Yeah.
This isn't new information.
Right, right.
Yeah. The medicines that you're using were found in the dirt or in plants or someplace in the natural realm.
It all started with that. And then now they isolate the active ingredients and duplicate
Correct.
Them in many cases. They duplicate them in the laboratory synthetically
yeah.
made from coal tar and things like that. So what you're offering is the plant version.
Correct.
Anyway, we're getting to the end of our time together. It's gone by so fast, it always does. But I want you to give your phone number again and tell people again how you can help them, because it's so valuable what you're doing.
Okay, well, so I do homeopathic and alternative medicine and pharmacy, and I would be very happy to help with any of your concerns. Today was just kind of a microcosm of what we're doing as far as looking at narcotics and medications, but we do have natural alternatives and homeopathic and alternative medicine that are plants and supplements that I can write out for you free of charge and mail it to you. We have, I'd say, two-thirds of my business is really, you know, mail out. So you call me from any place in the country. It's a 10-minute conversation, and I can go over what you're doing and help guide you as far as what choices you want to make if you want to get off of a prescription, if you don't want to be on certain medicines, if you're having some life issues that you need to deal with stress. And I do a lot of mental health. So if you have anxiety or depression or issues with severe stress, I'm very, very good at that. And I would be most honored and glad to help you and your family. So you can reach me at my pharmacy at 727-442-4955, and I would be so very glad to help you see what alternatives you might have as far as for you and your the future. I think that choices are very important and knowledge is power. So I want to empower you to let you know that there are things you can do other than medicines if you choose.
That's right. And you do such a good job. I know I keep saying that, but Pamela has helped me so much in terms of helping me with some physical conditions that I've had for years. And even though I've detoxed and changed my diet and get nutrition and stuff, there's still things that you want to do. Sometimes your body just needs a little help. And she knew exactly what to give me. And my body has done so much better since she's been helping me. And so anyway, we've only got a few seconds left. So I just want to thank you again and thank all my listeners. And, you know, just having somebody so close as a brother not be here anymore, I appreciate you all. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dad. Be well.